Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of You Can't Handle the Truth. Before I begin this review, I just want to say I'm not exactly feeling great, so you may be able to hear that in my voice, and I'm sorry if it sounds rough, if I sound rough. So this may be a short review, just because I don't want to talk for too long, but also maybe a long review, because I could talk for at least a couple of hours about how bad this f***ing movie is. Today, we're talking about the new Apple TV Plus movie starring Chris Evans and Ana de Armas. It's called Ghosted, alright? And yeah, the premise, very simple in a nutshell. There is a woman with a mysterious secret. She says she's an art dealer person. I don't know. She says she's in the art world. She doesn't really say what she does. And Chris Evans falls for her when he's down on his luck. He's fresh out of a relationship. Everybody's saying, "You're so hot, get with somebody else. You're a good guy." Relatable. But then he meets Ana de Armas, not relatable. And then she falls for him, not relatable as well. But they kind of hit it off, aka they just have a one-night stand, and then she ghosts him, hence the name Ghosted. Chris Evans happens to be playing a very clingy guy, and he texts and texts and texts, and he sends emojis, and he's like, "Emojis don't count as texts, I only texted you 7 times. Yeah, he's a bit of a stalker. Anyway, he ends up stalking her all the way across to London, where he has a tracker in his inhaler. Like, as if it wasn't bad enough that he has an inhaler he uses once. He never uses it for the rest of the goddamn movie. So as soon as that MacGuffin is used up, that is just to get them back in touch. Oh, miraculously, he doesn't have asthma anymore. He doesn't need his inhaler. He uses it once on the date when he's running up some stairs, which I'll get onto in a minute, and then he leaves it behind at her place. He says, "You know what? I've left it. I've got an excuse to go around. I'll just check my tracking app, which I've got all my items in a tracking thing." Because again, we needed that insight in the first 5 minutes of this movie when he can't find his bloody, I don't even know what it is. It's his money box, right? Because he's a market stall vendor and he can't find his money box. So he's like, "Excuse me, guys, excuse me." So I'm thinking at this point, okay, he's a hustler. He's not actually working there because he's looking around for this money. He's looking around for the change. He's just going to say to the people, "Oh, I'll just keep the change. How about that? Nice tip." But no, he actually does work there. And he's just very forgetful, even though that's the only 2 things he forgets where they are. He forgets the money box because he needs the audience to be aware that he's got an app where he tracks everything, and he loses the inhaler because that's the only item needed to get these two back in touch. So it turns out the inhaler's in London. He goes all the way to London, gets kidnapped, ends up in Pakistan. Ana de Armas comes to the rescue. Spoiler alert, she's not an art dealer. She works for the CIA. And then from there, there's a bit of a car chase, you know, Fast and Furious / Mad Max style, only really, really bad to look at. It's in a weird, weird truck as well. I don't know what it is. It's like a bus. It's a Pakistani bus with flamboyant designs and everything, and it just looks dreadful. And when she's drifting around, and you can see Ana de Armas attempting to drive it while shooting with one hand an SMG, and driving and drifting and holding Chris Evans back with a foot or whatever it is. It's like, what on earth is going on? This is painful. And it just goes on like this for 2 hours. I'm not even kidding. So I don't even need to say anything else about the plot because it's very predictable. Okay, what's going to happen? They need to leave Pakistan. They need to go meet somebody else that was a former love interest of hers. Oh, whoop-de-doo. Chris Evans is going to get jealous. They're going to have a bonding moment about how bad of an ex she is and why she ghosts people. I don't really see the need for them to call it Ghosted anyway. I mean, I don't know what they could have called it instead, but Ghosted is a bit vague for what this movie is, which basically, in recent years, The Lost City meets Uncharted meets Red Notice. That's basically what this movie is. Except, I don't know how, but it's worse than all three of those, which are three pretty shitty movies too. So kudos to this for actually making me like Uncharted just a little bit more. Alright, I do actually respect that because I've always wanted to like that movie more, but I just couldn't because it is bad. But this is absolutely diabolically awful. I was seriously wondering many times in this movie, is this the worst thing I've ever seen? And you know what? It might be. But then here's the thing. There's one scene where it is kind of like, okay, this is so bad, but I'm actually kind of getting on board with it. And then it goes on for too long, and then the rest of the movie, the last 40 minutes, is just like, this isn't even a fun kind of bad anymore. This is just awful. Like, this is truly shocking. With a cast full of, you know, legitimately alright actors. Okay, Ana de Armas, I think she's good. I think Chris Evans is pretty good, but let's be real, outside of Captain America, he's not done a fat lot of good. Okay, I loved him in Knives Out. I loved both of these actors in Knives Out, in fact. But the chemistry that was in that movie seems to be non-existent in this film. And there's multiple times in this movie where different characters are saying to those two characters, the chemistry, the sexual tension, can you not feel it? It's amazing. I can't feel it. I don't know what they're talking about. They are probably the best actors in the movie because they are convincing me of such bullshit with their line readings and their belief of the sexual tension that I think they're actually delivering good performances. But the main cast, the principal cast, are not doing a good job in the slightest. Adrian Brody, he plays, what the f*** does he play, honestly? Because at the start of it, I was thinking, okay, he's Italian, right? He comes in about 40 minutes in. He's introduced saying this line, we cannot afford this kind of failure. And I'm like, okay, he's Italian. He's got to be Italian. But then by the end, he's speaking in such a strong French accent. I'm like, is he French? Is he Italian? He's either way. I will say that. He's not very good in this film at all, which is a shame because Adrian Brody, I don't mind the guy. I think he's done some pretty good movies, you know, Oscar-nominated movies, Oscar-nominated actor, I believe. What was it, The Pianist or The Piano? It was one or the other. I can't remember, but yeah, what was he doing in this film? What was anybody doing in this film, to be honest? Because there's cameos. There's a lot of cameos. I don't really want to say too much about the cameos because I, for one, was actually surprised by some of them, which is kind of saying something because nowadays on Twitter, the cameos will be spoiled 4 months before the film's even come out. You know, as soon as it's filming, people will say, oh, look who's been spotted on the set. Oh, look who's going to get a cameo. And I will say this, Chris Evans did just admit the other day in an interview that some of his MCU co-stars will cameo in this film, but I didn't know who. I kind of had an inclination about who it was going to be, and I was right. And one of them is good, the other one is bad. There's another random cameo that is and there's one cameo that is just so painfully obvious, I was just waiting for it. I'm not going to say anything about those because just watch it. But also, don't watch this damn movie, right? If you had a gun to your head and somebody said to you, right, I'm going to shoot you unless you watch Ghosted, just tell them to shoot you twice, honestly, because that's what I'm going to do if I'm ever in that situation. I never want to watch this film again. I don't think you should either. Ana de Armas, her line reading at the start of this movie when she's driving a car through some random mountains, it is as bad as The Room. I'm not even kidding you. I was thinking, geez, oh, we are really in for a ride here. If this is the state of acting for the next 2 hours, this is going to be excruciating. And trust me, it was, right? Didn't get much better than that. The wigs didn't either. It looked like she was wearing Megan's wig, Mithrigan, right? She was just playing a live-action Megan for most of this movie, except Megan had better acting and could dance and sing. Ana de Armas can't. Actually, maybe she can, because there's a little montage when they're going on a date, right? 10 minutes into the movie, they're going on a first date, you know, they spend the day together, ooh, lovely. And then they're saying, oh, do you want to go get a drink? And then Ana de Armas is like, yeah, I know a place. And then it just cuts, right, jump cuts to the end of her singing a song in a pub. And it's like, what? Like, you could have just come in 5 minutes earlier. We could have seen them entering this bar. We could have seen them setting up the song. We could have seen her getting ready, you know, anything to prepare us for the fact that, oh, she can sing too, by the way. But no, it's just at the end of a song. Like, what? What is this whistle stop tour of a date that features them going to the Exorcist stairs? And this is the funniest thing ever, because a couple of weeks back, this clip actually got released of them running up the stairs having a race. And everybody on Twitter was saying, oh, I guarantee before this scene begins, they're going to mention The Exorcist. And I was just waiting for it. And the fact they did, they referenced it. They said, oh, look, did you know these are the steps? And they have a race up the steps. And it's like, what? I wish I was falling down those steps like the priest in that movie. Anyway, what else happens? I wrote down a bunch of stuff that happens during this movie, and I'm just going to run through it. I don't care about spoilers at this point because it's stupid. There's one line that Chris Evans says, which just made me, ugh. The trips that you plan the least are the ones that give you the most. Ugh, shut up, this is awful. It's almost like the films that you plan the least give you the most to f***ing rant about, I tell you that much. I look forward to my next day. Bye. No, actually, he says it in this really bad way. I look forward to our next day. And then it cuts to Ana, and she's like, bye. I want to say this as well, actually, while I'm on the subject, right? These two main leads, they're both very attractive people, yet they very rarely appear in the same frame together, right? Their faces are just like magnets, but the opposite ends of magnets. They are physically propelling each other so that every single time you see a front shot of Chris Evans, you then see the back of the head of Anna, or vice versa. You never see the two of them, except for maybe two times, three times max, in the entire 2-hour film. You never see the two of their faces for more than 5 seconds. It's crazy. You've got two of the hottest actors on the planet right now, and you are not having their faces in it. And it's crazy because half the time I was wondering, is that even them? All right, is the back of that head even them? Because it just looks like a wig, or it looks like the back of a generic guy's head who's just made to look out like Chris Evans. Because it's so weird, like, why they are afraid to have these two sharing the camera together. I don't understand. I don't know if it was in the contract. I don't know if it's just the bad directing, because we know this director can direct pretty well. Dexter Fletcher's done it. He did Rocket Man. Then again, he also did Bohemian Rhapsody, which kind of tells you everything you need to know, which is saying something as well, because the editing in this movie, pretty shoddy. I will admit, there's a lot of cuts that are so unnecessary. Just a simple conversation, there's about 20 cuts in the space of 20 seconds. Doesn't need to be that harsh, it really doesn't. Just make it natural, make it authentic. None of this movie seemed natural in the slightest, and that's my issue, because if there was genuine chemistry there, like there was in Knives Out, then this movie would have been so much better and so much more enjoyable. Because, yeah, the concept is very basic. We've seen most of these ideas done before in very, very similar ways, but with two actors that should be compatible together, not having them compatible really makes this film a complete dumpster fire. So I cannot recommend it unless you like sex scenes that are shot like a commercial with random needle drops. Like, Dua Lipa appears twice in the soundtrack, not too sure why. There's also a bit near the end when there's an action scene and Uptown Funk starts playing, and at that point I wanted to blow my brains out, because, you know, as if I didn't already, but Jesus. Anyway, that scene as well, I'm gonna skip right to the end here. The third act is definitely one of the most horrific looking third act action sequences I think I've ever seen, but the idea could have been cool, and it could have been executed in a way that was unique and different and pretty fun and exciting. But I just don't think it was, right, because of the whole revolving dinner sequence. It's cool, okay, I don't know where they are, that's the thing, I don't know what city they're in, I don't know what country they're in, no idea where they are, I don't think there's a title card to say, we are here. But the fact that they were in a revolving diner, I thought that was interesting. But then it starts spinning like there's no tomorrow, and there's bullets being shot, people flying everywhere, windows smashing, everything is just going off. Not in a good way. It looks like something out of Spy Kids, to be honest. It looks dreadful. But yeah, I think that scene could have had potential, you know, if I'm going to be positive about this film, because I'm going to be honest, I think that is the only thing I can be positive about. Everything else is just trash. What makes this worse is the fact that this film was written by 4 different people, which, I mean, come on, 4 people wrote a movie like this. What? What? You've got Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who did the Deadpools and the Zombieland films, and then you've got Chris McKenna and Eric Summers, who did the Spider-Man films, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Jumanji. Oh, Jesus Christ. I actually am a fan of the Deadpool movies and the Spider-Man movies. I think they're pretty well written for what they are, okay? They're superhero movies. Nobody's expecting them to be written fantastically, and by no means am I expecting this to be written well at all, but when it's written badly, you know, right, you really know that it's written poorly. The issue with the writing is, for the comedy, the jokes mainly depend on the following structure, which is, did that just happen? Oh my god, I'm not a CIA agent, whatever. It's just about rehashing the plot and rehashing everything we already know about these characters through comedic timing, but A, that's not funny, B, it's not interesting because these characters are written shockingly. So what you're left with is just a mangled mess for 2 hours that just has the same style jokes. Oh my god, I can't believe you just did that. Did I really just do that? It's not funny, it never was, it never has been in the history of Hollywood. Maybe once or twice has that kind of joke been funny, but not anymore, okay? We're fed up of the Marvel-style humour, but done shockingly. Like, Marvel has worked for at least a decade doing whatever they were doing to a relatively good standard. But now everything subsequently that has tried to jump on that train and kind of replicate that style, because they think they don't understand what makes Marvel movies money, okay? They don't understand that it's not due to the stupid quips, it's not due to Chris Evans even. It's because Captain America is the star. You look at what Tarantino said, who was then speaking off the back of so many other people who said exactly the same. Movie stars are very rare nowadays. Chris Evans is not a movie star. Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, none of these guys are movie stars. Well, Chris Pratt, You know what? Maybe Chris Pratt is, but relatively speaking, they're not. Okay, Captain America is the star. Thor is the star. Star-Lord, Hulk, everybody in between. Iron Man, the biggest one. They're all the stars, okay? It's not about the actor anymore. They don't make money. Because you look at what every single MCU actor has done outside of their superhero role since being in a Marvel film. I think Scarlett Johansson is probably the only one that's had a decent track record. Everybody else has been in bad streaming movies that have made no money whatsoever, that have garnered really bad reception anyway. So there's something wrong with what Marvel has done. And it worked for them, but it's not working in anything else since then. So this type of humour would have worked in a Marvel movie 10 years ago, but right now, I don't want to see another slow motion reaction shot as somebody gets hit off a car or something, and they go flying past the window. Like, in reality, you would not see the other person going flying past that window. They are travelling at, what, like 70 miles an hour? They are going to get absolutely wiped out, obliterated, probably smashed up into a million pieces. They are going to die. You are not going to have the moment to look out of the window, make a silly expression, and pretend that you saw the other person. Okay, it's not going to happen. So stop trying to make it happen, because this, along with the jokes about, I'm just a florist, okay, I'm not a CIA agent, oh no, what am I gonna do? It's not funny, right? Never has been, okay? Let's just leave it, let's move on, what's next? Tim Blake Nelson shows up, giving one of the worst performances in one of the worst accents. And the thing is, I was gonna mock it, but I can't even remember what he sounds like now. Just imagine a really bad sounding Russian guy interrogating Chris Evans saying, so, you're the... What's his name? What's his name? What's his name? Nah, there was a code name for what the main person was in this movie. The Tax Man. God, I almost forgot about that. Could you imagine? I've just finished watching it and I almost forgot what the guy's name was. The Tax Man. So, you're the Tax Man. Let me show you what I do with the Tax Man. I like to give them the pain index. Do you know the pain index? It's where we keep track of the pain index. I don't know that. He doesn't know what his script is either. So it's just weird. It's awful. It's dreadful. I hated it. Ana de Armas sweeps Chris Evans out by the legs. How much does he weigh? That's what I want to know, because there are multiple references later on to how buff Chris Evans is, and some woman's thirsting over him. Like, they're setting up a polygraph test, and then she's like, is that too tight? Is that too tight? And she's caressing his muscles, alright? So before, I was thinking, right, Ana de Armas, she's 5'6¼". You know, that quarter makes all the difference, doesn't it? Jesus Christ. Anyway, how tall is Chris Evans? I want to know. Chris Evans has got to be like 6'2", maybe 6'3". Let me check. Please be like 5'5". He's 6. Okay, he's 6 foot. That's fair enough. So, yeah, Ana de Armas, she sweeps him from under his legs. But Chris Evans is still kind of Captain America physique Chris Evans. Maybe not that much, but he still is, let's be real, he's in pretty good shape, right? But she manages to sweep him like it's nothing. What the f***? And then later on, when she's driving a tuk-tuk thing in Pakistan, she gets kicked in the face. One of the bad guys swings through the window and kicks her in the face. Oh, it's amazing. But then anyway, they go to a new place in Pakistan, and of course, of freaking course, when Ana de Armas says, I know a guy here, I'm thinking, okay, please just cast a genuine Pakistani actor. That would be great. You know, having somebody authentic in this role would be nice. I'm all down for that. But nobody's going to recognize any Pakistani actor, are they? Let's be real. Nobody in the Western audience, nobody with Apple TV Plus is going to recognize any of them. So let's just cast the one guy who shows up in all these movies that we recognize. We don't know his name, but we can recognize the guy's face. And we just instinctively know he must be of this ethnicity, okay? He must be of this descent. In actual fact, he's Dutch, okay? I'm not even kidding. I've just checked. He's Dutch. Marwan Kenzari, he was Jafar in Aladdin, he was in Black Adam, he was in The Old Guard for Netflix, he was in Murder on the Orient Express. He's that one guy who always shows up, you never know his name, but you recognise him. And when he turned up, I thought, are you kidding me? Are you actually kidding me right now? But then, to make things worse, he has a British accent. Why? Why? Oh my god, this film is awful. It's so, so bad. Genuinely the worst thing I've seen this year by far. You know, forget Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, forget whatever else has been bad. I genuinely can't remember. This just puts everything else to shame. This makes Operation Fortune Ruse de Guerre look like James Bond in comparison, but anyway, there's a few more cameos in this scene, which I'm not going to mention anything about, but that's the big cameo central scene. There's a plane sequence, but here's my problem with the plane sequence. There was no notion whatsoever that the plane was actually in flight. So yeah, you can look out the windows, but it's just white. It's almost like it was blue screened, and they thought, you know what, we're just going to fill it in with some white for now, and we'll put in some sky afterwards, you know, we'll put in some proper clouds and some actual motion to give the impression that the plane is moving. But no, it is the steadiest plane I've ever seen in my life. Right, yes, it may be a private plane, but it's clearly not flown by anybody that flies for Ryanair, because that would be shaking like a blender. But the fact there is no motion in the craft whatsoever, it just makes it feel so cheap, right? Like there was no budget to actually make it seem like it was moving. And I think they took this a little too seriously, because at the end, with the revolving restaurant scene, everything just keeps moving, nothing stops. It's like, we've done the wrong things here. We should have had the plane moving and the restaurant still. Ah, what have we done? Oh no. But then on the plane, Chris Evans is putting his parachute on and he's getting ready to open the door and fly out, but everybody's like, no, no, wait, stop, don't do it, don't do it. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is the reason it all seems so stationary, because it is. It's a ploy. They're going to say, don't jump out, because actually, the plane never took off. He's going to open the door, and it's just going to be on the runway. He's going to jump out, lands on a cushion, and it's just going to be a gag. No, he opens the door, and air just starts streaming in. They're actually in air, but what? What? Oh my god, it's awful. The last thing I want to say, to be honest, because I'm getting fed up with this film, there's a plant analysis scene later in the movie when they're at the CIA headquarters and Chris Evans is shown a series of deaths, and the CIA is like, this is the woman you're in love with, right? She's a killer. She killed so many different people. And then he's like, wait a minute. I know that plant. That plant can't survive. That's not her plant. I've got no idea how any of this relates to anything in the movie that comes after it or has come before it, but the fact that this scene is in there, it's so funny because it is almost like they had this scene in, and then from there they worked backwards to give Chris Evans a backstory all about plants, because without that backstory, this scene wouldn't make sense, and without this scene, we wouldn't have a character, and it would just be Ana de Armas in the CIA kicking ass for 2 hours. You know what? I think I'd rather watch that movie. And now I've just thought about it, I'm actually terrified for Ballerina next year, because she's going to star in that, which is the spin-off to the John Wick films. And even though I know, I'm going to be honest, I don't know at all. No, I'm actually terrified now, because there are going to be cameos in that film too from John Wick and from Winston and Sharon. But oh no, if it's anything like this, no, it's going to be dreadful. Oh, please pray. Please pray. Prayers up, right? I'm very, very scared. Anyway, I think I'm done. Yeah, Uptown Funk, I want to mention that again. I'm going to say it. There's one cameo. Ryan Reynolds, of course he appears in this. With an eye patch, no less. But of course it means he gets to say a funny line about having 20 vision. You know, for a lot of this movie, it just felt as though Chris Evans was doing his best Ryan Reynolds impersonation. And that's the problem with so many movies nowadays. You look at Bullet Train last year, or The Gray Man even, another Chris Evans movie, but both of those films feel like they were written with Ryan Reynolds in mind. But all these actors trying to jump on that bandwagon, it's making Ryan Reynolds look sh- now, because only he can do this, but now I don't want to see him do this, because I'm seeing other people do it so many other times. I don't care about this kind of performance anymore. Basically, Ghosted is everything wrong with Hollywood right now, and I don't think you should watch it. If you do watch it, you're gonna hate it, and if you don't hate it, I'm sorry, but what? Because this is the kind of movie as well. Like, up until this point, I didn't really have a huge problem with digital filmmaking. Yeah, sure, shooting on film is obviously superior. People have been doing it for way longer. It's just common knowledge that everything looks so much better, but oh my god, this film looks so bad. It was so shockingly obvious how bad digital filmmaking can be. This is the flatness people are talking about. There is no depth, no excitement, nothing colourful, nothing exaggerative. There is just nothing. It is just smeared shit on a screen made to look nice with the actors who don't even look nice in it, because you only see the back of their heads, which look like wigs. So, With that, Ghosted. It's in some select cinemas now, possibly. It is also on Apple TV Plus. If you want to subscribe to Apple TV Plus just for this movie, rethink that, alright? Rethink that choice, mate, I'm telling you. Now, I need to go and watch one of the best films of all time. I don't know what. I don't know if I need to watch either Top Gun Maverick or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite, Spider-Verse, anything like this. I just need to watch something very, very, very good right now, because if I die and Ghosted is the last movie I ever see, if I wasn't already dead, I would kill myself, okay? Because I cannot physically survive knowing that this is the last film I've currently seen, so I need to watch anything else. I will watch the Mario movie again, both of them, the 93 version and the new one, just to say I've watched something better than Ghosted before I die, because I cannot overstate just how shocking this movie actually is. And yes, it may seem like I'm exaggerating, but trust me, watch it and you'll see. But don't watch it, because I don't want you to have the same trauma that I've been put through. For a lot of it I was laughing, for a lot of it I was saying, what the f***? And then for some of it, I was ready to go and make a cocktail with some bleach from under the sink. So yeah, I'm going to go and ghost this movie for the rest of my life. I sincerely hope that these two actors star in much better roles moving forwards, because, you know, for their sakes as well, I hope to God this isn't their last film. But if it is, then, oh, man. Man, what is this film? This film should never have been made, okay? I don't understand on so many levels how writers that have done good stuff before have written something like this, how a director who has directed good stuff before has directed something like this, and how these performers haven't just walked away, okay? Because, sure, it could be down to the chemistry, it could be down to the individual performers, but when it's a single performance that's off-putting, you know it's the actor. But when it's everybody in the movie that is acting shockingly, that blame lies with the director. Okay, so Dexter Fletcher, I think he's great, but I don't know what he's done here. I really, really don't. So with that, this has been Ghosted. I've been Kieran. I said this wasn't going to be long, but it is. But I don't care, because you know what? I feel like this is good. I feel like this has relieved me of some stress and some anger. If I was in America, I would have just gone to the shooting range, but I can't do that, so I'm going to vent my frustration out in here, because I'm not going to pay for a therapist. You are my therapy, okay? You listeners, you're my therapy. You always have been, so I appreciate you, but this film has seriously given me problems, and I hope I recover quickly. So if you want to go and watch it, don't do it. Please don't do it. But anyway, all that is left for me to say is I've been Kieran. This has been Ghosted. I hope you've enjoyed this review, maybe a little bit more than the movie itself. And I shall speak to you in the very next episode of You Can't Handle the Truth.